The Adventures of Katie Brown by K.M. Mathis. Chapter 1. Coventry Hall. It was a cold, dark, blustery day, with a sky full of menacing black clouds and fierce rain. The prospect of an adventure did not seem highly likely, but Katie Brown was determined to keep her spirits high and to expect great things. "What a jolly good way to begin an adventure," said Katie, as she stood shivering on the railway platform. "Nonsense, child," said Aunt Sylvia. "There's nothing whatsoever adventurous about going to boarding school."
"Father always taught me to make up adventures when I was afraid. He said that make-believe could chase away fear if one believed hard enough."
"Stuff and nonsense," snorted Aunt Sylvia. "My brother was nothing but a dreamer, and he died a dreamer. Nothing good could come of make-believe. One must look life squarely in the face."
"I dare say that Coventry Hall will discipline your unruly imagination,
and it won't be soon enough if you ask me."
Katie turned away to hide the tears welling up in her eyes.
"I will believe in adventures," whispered Katie Brown as she swallowed back the tears.
Although Katie had always liked trains, the one to Hayward's Heath was late, and when it did arrive, it was not the least bit friendly to her. It whistled and shrieked as it slowly approached the platform, and then spewed great clouds of steam at her. She thought that was very rude, and did not want to ride on a train that complained so bitterly. But she resolved to think kindly of the train until it gave her good reason to be uncivil. This it did right away, when it opened its doors and released a flood of passengers that shoved Katie this way and that, as if she did not exist at all. Then all the boarding passengers swarmed towards the train, and Katie was caught up with them. In the scuffle, she was not only separated from Aunt Sylvia, but also her lunch parcel, which was wrenched from her hands and scattered all over the platform. A young fellow nearby quickly stooped and scooped up all of the pieces, except for the apple, which got away and rolled rather miraculously across the platform without getting squashed. He rushed after it, weaving in and out of the rushing passengers, and when he had recovered it, he stood up and waved the apple triumphantly at Katie. Unfortunately, Katie was nowhere to be found. "Miss," he yelled as he stood on his toes to see above the crowd, but being a rather smallish boy, his toes did not add much to his height, and therefore he had an excellent view of umbrellas, but not of Katie. So he climbed up on a pile of crates, and managed to catch a glimpse of her as she was carried into the train by the surging crowd. "Miss," he screamed as loud as he could, "your parcel!" Katie looked back and waved her hand at him before she disappeared inside. As soon as she managed to free herself from her captors, she pressed her way to an open window and leaned out as far as she could.
"I'm over here," she cried, waving with all her might.
When the bewildered fellow finally spotted her, he yelled at the station master to hold the train and then made a heroic dash for the door. But the train pulled out of the station without the slightest hesitation. The boy threw his hat down on the platform in frustration and accepted his defeat. He and the apple waved goodbye to Katie. Aunt Sylvia also waved goodbye to Katie, for she was not able to board the overcrowded train. Although she was a child and traveled alone, not one single person was good enough to give Katie a seat. She sat down on the floor and was soon fast asleep from the swaying motion of the train. She did not awaken until the train had reached its final stop, 2 miles past Hayward's Heath Station. Katie asked for directions, and then set out for the boarding school. Fortunately, the angry clouds had taken their tears elsewhere and had left behind a clear, star-filled sky and a bright moon to help her find her way, and she was able to get a ride on a farmer's cart. Nevertheless, by the time she arrived, she was late and tired and muddy and not the least bit in a cheerful mood. She knew that all these things together would not make a very good first impression at Coventry Hall. Of course, getting into Coventry Hall was quite another problem. The old wrought iron gates were locked, as all good gates should be at such an hour. She tried to squeeze through the bars, but they were only wide enough to put one arm and one leg through, and even then she very nearly got stuck trying. She then explored the thick stone wall on either side of the gates, but there weren't enough stones jutting out to use as a ladder.
"Oh, what's the use?" she said with a sigh and sat down on the huge root of a tree.
She leaned back her head and looked up at the stars through the branches. Suddenly, she jumped up,
and examine the tree more closely. "Jolly good!" she exclaimed, and began to climb the tree. It was an excellent climbing tree with lots of gnarls and twists to use as footholds. She soon reached the first branch, which hung over the wall into the yard, and slowly shimmied along it. She was almost to the end when her frock got caught on a broken branch, and when she tried to free herself, she started to fall. Although her frock rescued her, it would not release her, so she hung there upside down in the moonlight. She did not have long to think about how to free herself, because her frock gave up the struggle, tore with great agony and protest, and deposited her on the ground. She was now very muddy, very tired, and very hungry, and she secretly wished that adventures could somehow be less difficult. Katie stood there for a moment to catch her breath and gazed at Coventry Hall. It looked cold and stately in the moonlight, but its rain-drenched, glistening stones gave it a shimmering light that betrayed a slight hint of magic. She would need all the magic she could muster to get her through the long, dark, tree-lined path leading to it. The moon cast eerie shadows through the tunnel of trees, and Katie's imagination was hard at work conjuring up all kinds of frightful creatures. As she began to walk up the path, her courage failed her. She began to walk faster and faster. Not daring to look to the side or behind her, she kept her eyes focused steadily on the door. She was quite sure that some nasty thing was waiting to capture her if she faltered ever so slightly. When Katie finally reached the door unscathed, she pounded on the door with hard, quick knocks, as if to say, "Please let me in straight away, or I shall surely die a horrible death." Just as the nightmarish imaginings pressed all around her and nearly made her cry out in fear, the door opened, and the light from inside shone out into the darkness and sent all of the nasty things back to their hiding places. However, the thin, tall, stern-looking woman at the door seemed more frightening than a forest full of imaginary goblins. The woman stared down at Katie with a menacing glare that pierced her to the very heart. "Well," the woman said with disgust, "what have we here?"
"I'm Katie Brown," stammered Katie. "I'm sorry. I'm very late, but..."
"Yes, you are late. Inconveniently late, as well as filthy and unescorted. You have obviously never been taught proper manners. However, that will not be the case here. You are a Coventry Hall girl now, and such behaviors will not be tolerated. Come inside at once," she barked. Katie was so frightened that she could not move from the spot. "I said come inside at once," repeated the woman, as she grasped Katie's ear and pulled her inside. Katie screamed out in pain, wrenched herself free, and stood rubbing her ear as she stared at the woman in horror. As the woman approached her, Katie backed away slowly, and then turned and ran blindly forward right into somebody's arms. She screamed and fought hard to free herself, but the warm, protective, loving arms encircled her and held her tightly. Katie could be brave no longer. She burst into tears and clung to her protector.
"Miss Mackenzie," the woman said sternly, "that is Katie Brown. See that she is put to bed immediately," she said, and left the room without waiting for a response.
"Go ahead and cry, my dear," said Miss Mackenzie as she held Katie tightly. When the sobs began to subside, Miss Mackenzie pushed Katie's hair back and wiped her tear-stained face. "It looks like you've had quite an adventure, Katie Brown," she said cheerfully. "You must be weary and half-starved. Come into the kitchen and dry by the fire. If you promise not to tell, we can rummage through the pantry and make ourselves a nice supper. What do you say?"
"I would like that very much," said Katie.
Miss Mackenzie led her into the kitchen. She sat her down before the fire, and then went in search of something delicious to eat. However, she only managed to find some bread and cheese, a small custard tart, and some milk. "Well," said Miss Mackenzie as she returned to the fire, "I have always thought that a poor meal in good company far exceeds a rich meal in mean company. I hope you agree, Katie, because this is all I could find. I'm afraid cook guards her pantry too well, so we shall have to be content with what we have and make the best of it.
I should be very happy just to have a bit of bread and cheese. You may have the tart, Miss Mackenzie."
"That's very kind of you, Katie, but we've all had our tarts today. This one is for you." Katie smiled gratefully and ate her bread and cheese, but when she began to eat the tart, she could not finish it and slowly put it down. Tears came to her eyes, and she could hardly swallow her mouthful.
"Katie, whatever is the matter?" asked Miss Mackenzie with concern.
"Oh, I've had a rather beastly time of it today, and you are the only person who has been kind to me. You are so very much like my mother."
"I'm sorry about your parents, Katie," said Miss Mackenzie. "You must miss them very much."
"Dreadfully," said Katie softly. "I only wish we could have said a proper goodbye."
"Yes, I know. Accidents are so sudden, and there are so many things you wish you could have said. For now, we've got to finish our secret supper, because I've got a surprise for you."
"I should very much like to see my surprise now, if you please."
"Very well, follow me," said Miss Mackenzie as she took Katie's hand. She led Katie to the servant stairs, which they climbed, and then went down a long hall. At the end was a wooden stairway, very steep, which they also climbed. The door at the top led them into a small garret room with a slanted ceiling and a big skylight. It was very bare, with only a small bed in one corner under the skylight, a writing table, a chair, a wash basin, and a wardrobe. There was a small fire in the fireplace and a lit oil lamp on the table. The wooden floor was bare except for a well-worn rug next to the bed, and no curtains hung on the windows. It would have been an utterly cheerless room if there had not been a vase of wildflowers on the table.
"Is this to be my room?" asked Katie.
"Yes, dear," answered Miss Mackenzie. "I know it's not much, but it's the only place we could put you on such short notice. All the other rooms are full until the end of term. I'm afraid it's a bit musty. It hasn't been used since it was my room years ago. I was always very fond of it."
"Then I shall try very hard to like it, too," said Katie earnestly.
"Besides, you shall be quite safe from the headmistress in this room. She's afraid of it, and has not been up here for years."
"Why is she afraid?"
"She thinks it's haunted, because she's heard strange voices here. Of course, it's not haunted, not really, but it is a very special room. I've had a great many adventures here."
"I like adventures. Only I wish they weren't quite so difficult sometimes. Is the headmistress the woman I met at the door?"
"Yes, she's the headmistress, and someone you oughtn't to disobey if you can help it."
"Must I do everything she says?"
"Yes, dear Katie, you must try very hard."
"Even if she makes me do something wrong?"
"No, you oughtn't to do wrong things, even if she is cruel to you."
"Is she very cruel?"
"Sometimes, but you must try to be very brave and to do what is right. Promise?"
"Yes, I promise."
"Good. Now you must get some sleep. We can have a nice chat tomorrow." Miss Mackenzie helped Katie wash up and change her clothes. The wet clothes were hung over a chair by the fire, and then Katie hopped into bed. "Good night," whispered Miss Mackenzie as she tucked the bedclothes snugly around Katie.
"Good night," said Katie as she looked up and noticed the stars through the skylight. "Miss Mackenzie?"
"Yes?"
"Do you think Mother and Father are making those two stars wink at me so I won't miss them very much?"
"I think perhaps they are telling you good night, Katie Brown."